Welcome back, man. This is awesome. You get to come back on the show. This is awesome. It's a little bit different. Normally, I'd have you pop into our show, but we have not made it to the comic shop this week. We're not going to do it. We're going to do it tomorrow. So we're going to go to the shop tomorrow. But welcome back. Last time you were on, it was episode 66. This is going to be
my favorite. Order 66.
Exactly. This episode, I think, let's see, it might be 130.
Okay, so almost like exactly.
Almost double?
Yeah.
Can't read. Yeah, I think this is going to be episode 130, dude. So, yeah, crazy.
I got to do some more Kickstarters so I can get on here more often.
There you go. But, I mean, it's, we're just cranking them out. Like, I mean, we did, like, four episodes last week. It was crazy.
Hey, I mean, but, you get that content while you can. That's one of the hardest things to do. Right. And when you have the time on your hands, just producing is one of the best things you can do. Producing and writing, so.
Yeah, exactly. So I need to finish my second script, too. That's on the list. And I'm trying to learn to draw because my daughter made a zine. I can't have her show me up, right? So I have to have her, I've got to do one too. So I'm trying to teach myself how to draw a little bit. So my artist says I'm doing a good job. So we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. Did
he give you a sticker for like a good job? A little scratch sticker back in the day?
I'm going to tell him when I'll meet him in person for the first time at Terrificon.
Nice.
And so I'm going to make sure he has stickers for me to put on my artwork. he teaches at a college too. He teaches one or two classes at a college for part time. I'm gonna be like, go to the teacher store and get you your star stickers because I'm gonna need them on my artwork when I turn them into.
There you go.
Remember that. That will be hilarious. But episode 66. Welcome back. New Kickstarter you just launched. Jump into it. Tell us what it's about.
Yeah. So actually, in that episode too, we talked about it. I mean, I think Wasteland was completed. We were out. We're chatting that quite a bit. Still going strong. Got I think three shops that it's in now up here in Illinois. I actually had dropped off a copy at the Secret Stash and never heard back from them, but it's fine.
Yell at Mike for you if I get the chance to go next month.
Yeah, I called him in December. I was like, hey man, I dropped off this book with you. He's like, oh yeah. He's like, I'm sorry. I've been so busy. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. Call me back in a couple months. And I'm like, all right. And I just never did. And I probably should call him now, but like, hey, is this still sitting on your desk collecting dust? Like, but yeah, so that's, Wasteland's doing good.
Awesome.
That one too, I actually had a shop up here called Modern Age Comics in Algonquin, Illinois. They bought a few books and they now have an exclusive cover that I'm currently having worked on by a tattoo artist. So they're going to have an exclusive cover in their shop, which is really exciting, which is going to be like a tattoo cover. So that's going to be a good one.
That's cool.
But yeah, in that episode, I talked about Hard Years a little bit, and that book is finally ready to go. So it's
awesome.
I got it. I am also extremely sorry because I was supposed to send you that digital copy the other day. And
that's all right.
I haven't sent it to you yet. I'm sorry, man. That's on me. But I'm excited, dude. It's such a fun book. The artwork is so cool. The artist, Adam Fix, I found him on TikTok, or he found me on TikTok, and we worked together on an 8-page short story. And I was like, hey man, I love your work. Let's do something else together. And this is Heart Eaters. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I pulled up the Kickstarter and was reading through it. It looks amazing, the artwork. And of course I have links below and all that fun stuff. And the cover on the thumbnail, all that fun stuff. Very reasonable priced. I was happy to see that because some of these Kickstarter books are outrageous. Not outrageous. I understand. Printing costs are expensive. I get it,
Man.
But like me, I think you and I think we talked about this last time because I was discussing, I think, what I was going to do my pricing at. And, we stuck at about $7 a book. And that's what you're at. And that's, I think that's perfect.
Yeah. And that was with Modern Age. Him and the owner and I, Edgar, we talked quite a bit about that the one time. And I was like, you know, my issue is like I was buying from Comics of Wellspring. You know, I was buying my mm-hmm. books to them, and now it's $5 a book just to print a book. If you're going with 20 issues, and you know, obviously the price decreases with the amount of books you purchase to them, but like,
right.
You know, I'm not buying truckloads of books at the moment. I can only buy a certain amount of time. So it got so expensive. Eventually I found someone else, another printer who is charging me like $2 and $2.50 a book, which I can't, you know, can't beat that.
No,
and,
you can't beat that.
When I was creating this Kickstarter, I was like, you know what? I gotta make it so where people want to back it, you know, mm-hmm. where they say $5 a book. Absolutely. That's what I'm paying for a book currently on the shelf. So,
right.
It's kind of what I went into this one a little light-handed when it came to like the tiers as well. Like, you know, I have a Printify shop. So if someone wants a t-shirt, I can just print it for them instead of buying, you know, a boatload of shirts.
I do the same thing. These are Printify shirts.
And you and I had that conversation in the last podcast. I'm like, man, I'm doing things so wrong right now, you know, and I got to fix it. So this new Kickstarter, I was like, I felt so much more engaged with like other backers. I'm like, this right. people are going to love this, you know, so I'm excited.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, Printify is the way to go. I mean, I understand. I had an argument with a guy at a convention, actually, a couple months ago. Not an argument. He was just trying to sell me his service. You know, he wanted me to buy, you know, 40, you know, 40 per size. And I'm like, dude, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not going into debt for inventory when I can just use Printify for right now. Now, one day, if I have the cash flow, absolutely. I'd love to take, you know, 10 per size of every shirt that I've created, you know, and I will do that one day. But today's not the day. You got to level up there, you know?
Yeah, I did that with Wastelands Kickstarter. I was like, oh, I'll just buy it in bulk, you know? And the next, you know, it's like a $600 bill. And I'm like, that goes a lot of my backing, you know, instead of going to Printify and just shipping them straight to the customer or to the back. So it's quite a difference.
And I mean, it's cool if you have the inventory, but then you have the inventory, right? It's like good and bad. It's good if you go to a show and you can sell a couple, but it's bad because you have all this inventory and money tied up. And I mean, I got a trailer full of inventory from my last, you know, self-employment, you know, thing. So, you know, but just COVID killed me, but on that, but I have a trailer full of, I used to go and print all these, and I have all the equipment to do it too. I could get just transfers and do it myself, like on site, but I also don't want to work that hard anymore. I'm old.
That's fair, man. Yeah. I'm right there with you. Yeah, well, I'm at work right now.
Oh, sweet.
I told my guys, I'm like, hey, I got to go do an interview. So man the floor, you know, but
that's awesome. You're at Guitar Center, right?
Still? I am. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sitting over here. I'm in my studio room right now. So
I was wondering about the background. Yeah. That's awesome, dude. I love it. I'm on my list too is music. I love music and want to learn, and we'll get there one day.
I mean, when you get the chance, you got the store in Raleigh, you know,
I do. Oh, we go there. I'm not all the time, but I mean, probably once a year I go in there just to look around and gawk at stuff. Right. Nice. You know, but now what part of Illinois are you, like, close to Chicago? You're in Southern Illinois. Where are you at?
Yeah, I'm basically suburbs of Chicago.
Chicago. Okay.
Yeah.
I think I asked you that last time.
Yeah.
You're on the north side of Chicago. Okay.
I am. Yeah. The safe side.
Did I? I may have asked you, do you know a guy named Eric? They're a Side Quest Comics. They do like a YouTube channel and stuff.
I don't know.
We'll have to get in touch with them.
Yeah.
You guys. I also interviewed a couple guys out of Chicago, Comics to Your Couch. You know those guys?
Okay. I don't know.
You have to find those guys. They're in Chicago. They're pretty cool. You're like young kids, roommates, did a comic book, horror. They're all into horror comics and stuff. It's awesome.
This
they're
is
pretty
perfect
cool guys.
For them. Yeah, I'm gonna have to reach out.
You have to reach out to those guys. I'm sure we're mutuals on Instagram and TikTok and stuff.
Oh, we gotta be.
With them, they were pretty cool. I don't get to Chicago much, but I do want to go to Chicago one of these days. I want to go to C2E2. Do you go there? Have you been?
I do. Yeah, I went this year.
Sweet.
Which was really, it was a last minute thing. So in March, my wife actually ended up having to have a surgery, and happened to fall right at C2E2 weekend.
No.
I know. It was like the Tuesday before C2E2. And I'm like, well, I'm really happy I didn't get a booth because I was trying to get a booth this year.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm happy I didn't because then this, I would have felt horrible, you know, because I'm like, you know, I would have to choose one of the two. And obviously I'm going to choose my wife, you know.
Yeah, right.
So Sunday rolls around and she's like, hey, she's like, you know, I'm feeling okay if you want to go to C2E2. And I'm like, are you sure? Like, I want to go, don't get me wrong, but I also want to make sure you're okay. She's like, no, go. Like, it's totally fine. I'm like, all right, cool. So I took a big, like a backpack full of comics and I printed out business cards.
Yeah.
Put my business cards inside there and walked around the booth just passing it out. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to eat a lot of this right now. This sucks because I can't sell these books, but screw it. I went around to every table I could, creators, just passer buyers, and passed out Wasteland to everybody. So
that's awesome.
Traction was zero. I will say I didn't see anything from it necessarily. I think I maybe saw like two people come from C2E2, but it was just a great experience. It like hand, for instance, there's Comics Elite, who is a larger comic book shop in, I think it's Indianapolis. They do a lot of lives and whatnot and on Facebook. I met with the owner and one of the main guys and handed my book over to them. So, you know, it's sweet. It's pretty cool. Yeah, I got a few actual like professional artists. I draw my book off to them. One guy was like, I don't want to touch your stuff. And I'm like, okay, that's fine.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, when I open my comic shop, I'll be asking you for copies for my store. So
let's go.
I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm seriously considering it. I mean, it probably will be a year or two out, but we'll see.
Should do a GoFundMe for it.
Right?
Instead of kickstarting it, do GoFundMe. Maybe that might be a little more traction for you.
There you go.
GoFundMe, if I'm not mistaken, whatever you raise, you get back.
Do you?
Okay. Unlike Kickstarter, where it's like
all or nothing.
It's right. All or nothing. Yeah. So GoFundMe might be a great way to go about it.
Yeah, it might be. I might look into that. Well, the next project's my documentary that I'm working on, because I don't know if you've heard about that.
No.
When we went to Michigan, because that's where my friend who owns a print shop is. Shop's in Michigan. So we recorded the whole process of, like, we got to actually go and, like, pick out paper. We spent a whole day just playing with paper. Yeah. You know, I have a stack over here this thick of paper.
Yeah.
And then we finally settled on our paper. He ordered it. We got to, like, you know, feed it through the printer. We got to go wheel it over to the cutting machine and cut it. We got to score the cover. Like, I got to work like every step of the process. I got to run the equipment to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, even the final step where it did the saddle stitching, folded it and trimmed it and everything. It was so cool. And I recorded the whole thing. So I'm trying to put, like, you know, just a short, like 30, 45 minute documentary together on the whole process. Nice. So okay. I'm probably going to kickstart that.
YouTube premiere that or
I'm trying. I don't want to just put it on YouTube for free, right?
That's
like
fair.
I want to get something for it to start with. So I'm thinking about kickstarting it for a while first, mm-hmm. and then maybe selling it through our website, and then eventually I'll release it through the YouTube.
Yeah.
It's kind of what I'm thinking at the moment. I don't know. But then the comic shop might happen too. I have this dream of a comic shop where I have the studio in the shop, like, you know, do the podcast there, have the start, you know, the store, have everybody's books that comes on the podcast in the store, little signs, you know, that'll be like, as seen on Talking Comics. I started doing videos that have that tag, like as seen on Talking Comics.
Yeah.
And, you know, a little like QR code to the episode or something that they were on, you know, I think that would be really cool. So
that'd be awesome. That'd be really cool. I mean, that is like, your dream is much like the one I always envisioned myself. If I ever had an opportunity to open up a shop, is like to have it very creator friendly, you know, and really push that sort of like, hey, you know, we're all a team. We all work together in these shops. And what's most important is that we drive the industry forward. Yes. Marvel, exactly. The big two, you know, like they're just as important as anything else, but like, you know, we're the future of the industry and our books mean a lot. So.
Hey, the future Marvel and DC writers start out as indie writers, so.
Absolutely. I mean, look at Stephanie Phillips, right?
100%.
Yeah,
she was
that,
so cool.
Was she?
Yeah, we met her at, we went to Heroes Con in Charlotte.
Well, yeah.
I don't know, 3 weeks ago now, maybe. And yeah, I mean, the best part was when we got there Saturday morning, it's like a 3 hour drive for us. So we drove over there. We just went for the day and we got there and we're walking towards the door and my daughter's like hot. So she's running in the, you know, cause it's, you know, a billion degrees here. So she's running to get inside and she holds the door for a couple of people. And one of the people was Stephanie Phillips. She held the door open for her going into the show. So that was really cool. Then we got to her booth, you know, finally. And
yeah,
she told her that story and I got a cool picture on Instagram of them too, where she gave, you know, cause she did this cover.
Yeah.
And so she gave Stephanie one of these. And of course I gave her one of mine because, you know, her book, you know, she let me use her book inside my book. So
yeah,
the cover. I gave her mine. And so I got a cool picture of, you know, she asked Annika to sign it. So she signed her comic for Stephanie and Stephanie signed, you know, her comics for Annika. And then, you know, holding each other's comics, got a cool picture of them. Cute picture. And she got to meet Scotty Young. I mean, she had it made that day.
Yeah.
She had a great time.
Scotty is such a great guy.
He was. Dude, he did a sketch cover. I don't know if I can reach it. No, it's way over there. He did a sketch cover for Annika, and they told us he would not do it.
Yeah.
And but we didn't have a stack of 40 books for him to sign because some people, 40 was the limit. We only just had like 4. And so he did a quick sketch of on our I Hate Fairyland cover. So that was really cool.
That was one of our first C2E2s we went together, me and my oldest. We met Scotty and that was her thing. She loved I Hate Fairyland. Yep. I remember bringing it up to him and he's like, "For you?" I'm like, "No, for her." And he's like, "Really?" And it's like, because it's not really a child friendly
book, right?
You know,
but she loves it.
My daughter's the same thing. She loved that story. So he was like, "Oh yeah, absolutely." You know, I have a video of that and everything. And
that's awesome.
Back at that time too, I was started kind of doing the same thing you two are doing,
right?
With me and Addison, we were like, "Hey, let's, you know, let's do like a YouTube thing. Like dads and daughters go to conventions together. Like kind of do like a how to, like how to master a convention." And the year we did it, COVID happened. So it was like, we did the video and we were, you know, I had the year planned out with all the different conventions we're gonna go to. COVID happened. I'm like, all right, I guess we'll put it off till next year. And we just never brought it back up.
It's crazy because I was actually in my car driving towards Chicago.
Yep. I remember.
When did I tell you that? I probably told you that story.
You're driving,
driving to Chicago when I got the email that the convention closed or canceled. And I was like, well, guess,
That's
so it's COVID's fault I haven't been to Chicago in a few years.
So you'll make it back next year.
That's right. I got to have
you'll have a booth.
Oh, yeah. I could get a C2E2 booth next year. That'd be cool. That would be really cool.
That's, I think you'd have to try to go for like an artist alley thing. That's what I hear is probably easier things to do. I tried for a writer's block. Cause like, you know, I'm not an artist. Maybe I'll go for writer's block. And the email I got back was like, "Yeah, I'm sorry, but you know, we'll put you on the wait list. There's too many. We have a lot of people that have already pitched in." But I'm like, "That's totally fine. But if there happened to be anything open, so like, I really want to be part of the show. I'm a growing creator, that sort of thing." They got back to me, go, "Yeah, sure, $2,000 for a booth." And I'm like, "I'm okay, thank you." Like,
you know, here's the hack. I don't know if I want to publish it, but here's my next step when I go to these conventions. So I've been to 3 other big conventions.
Yeah.
So I went to Heroes. I went to South Carolina Comic Con, which had a line 6 blocks down to get in the door, which was insane. It was in Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah.
And then I went to a local one day show here. But I'm just using these 3 as an example that we applied to get booths and got denied. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, just too late or whatever the reason, you know.
Yeah.
And I understand. I get it. You know, you get full, whatever. It's fine. But it never fails. All 3 of those conventions that turned me down had like tons of emptied booths.
Yeah.
Tons. And I'm like, I was so tempted to be like, hey, let me just set up. You got empty tables. That doesn't look good, right? Like, yeah. I'm here. And the best part about, so like I was telling you, I have a trailer full of stuff, you know. I used to literally pull like a 4x6 trailer, enclosed trailer, for with all my product to these conventions. Mm-hmm. Well, now my whole booth fits in my trunk of my car, which is amazing. You know, because it's just, you know, a couple tablecloths, a comic box, and a couple banners, right? You know, so it's in a one like tote, small, you know, thin tote of, you know, stuff. And it's like, I take it with me everywhere now. It's like, I can easily set up, you know, and, you know, 30 minutes, I'll be set up and selling, you know.
You got to be ready, right?
Right. So I think, you know, I might try that route at a couple of these conventions next year or so later on.
And this was when I got to C2E2 and actually immediately went to find John Avina from Avina Comics. So he was set up there. And John and I are friendly with each other. We talk on social media from time to time. So I was like, let's go check him out.
Heck yeah.
And right across from John was an empty booth. And he's like, yo, what happened? And I'm like, so I told him what happened. He's like, that booth has been empty all weekend. You could have had that booth. I'm like, I know. Like, I get it. You know, I'm like, maybe I've just applied for the wrong spot. And he's like, yeah, those people didn't even show up. And I'm like, that's so frustrating. You know,
it is. And I get it. Stuff happens, family, whatever. I get it. But there should be like a, if I ever run a convention, I'm going to have like a on like standby, not a wait list, but a standby list.
Yeah.
Like, bring your stuff. If you're coming to the, like us, like we're going to the convention regardless. If I have a booth or I'm just attending. Right. But I could be on a standby list, be like, oh, well, six people want to show up, take a booth, right?
Exactly.
They've already got, most likely got their money for it already, right? They're not going to refund those people. Even if they charge me half or something, you know, just a $50 fee or whatever, I'd pay that just to be able to set up, you know? So
it's all about
just something to think about. Might do that.
The one thing I get annoyed with C2E2, and it's like, it's a pretty, it's really not that big of a deal, but like they have, it's such a big event in such a tiny spot. Like the floor is huge, you know, and they do a lot, but I feel like it's cramped in there, and they could expand that McCormick Center to be a San Diego Comic-Con size event, you know? And I feel like they really dropped the ball there, because, you know, you have people like us who are willing to pay to be there, you know, and you can expand your Artist Alley booth to be so large. That's just, every time I walk in, I'm like, I love it, but I wish there was more.
Yeah, 100%. And I did the same thing. I got to update my sheet. I have this cool, I have some cool fun questions. You know, last time I asked you fun questions.
You did.
But I updated those questions for people that have come back on the show. And I always print off the wrong sheet. It's got the original questions. Well, to be fair, what I've wanted to do for a long time is print out, because I print out one for every episode. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking what I need to do is print out one that has like new guest on one side and returning guests on the other, and like laminate it.
There you go.
And not waste all this paper. But I like taking notes. But I could use like a dry erase board, take a picture, and then, you know, reuse it. Whatever, doesn't matter. Yeah. So I had to pull it up on my computer over there. So, whoops, I don't need that paper anyway. All right, so here's the updated questions. So since you were last on, is there any comics that have stuck out to you?
I haven't read comics in a minute now. I will say, I mean, the Absolute Universe has been amazing. That's Snyder's put out with all DC and stuff.
I'm catching up on the Absolute Batman.
It's so good. They're doing such a great job, and I feel like they stepped up again. You know, they like every year I feel like it's a leapfrog between them and Marvel. They're, you know, going back and forth. They've done a great job. That's really the old, like the most I've read as of recently, because I've actually been, you know, I've been excluding myself in my writing, if that makes any sense. Okay. I mean, I'm listening to a lot of audiobooks. Like, I'm actually, if I'm picking anything, I guess you could say the Dungeon Crawler Carl Free Comic Book Day book that came out recently. Even though I've read all the webtoons, read all the books, that's probably what stood out to me the most.
All right. Yeah, I have that. I did get a copy. I haven't read it yet.
So I read all the books, all eight.
Wow.
Novels. The graphic novel is just a great stepping stone into the first book too.
Is it okay?
So good. It's like
I almost picked up the. I almost bought the graphic novel the other day. I was at a Barnes and Noble or Books a Million, one of those.
Yeah.
Almost. I'm buying all the really Thor good. Stuff.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm still reading my one Thor a day. I'm on like 282, I think, tonight. So
wow,
it's crazy. It's so much fun. All right. So here's one. What comic character would you trust to watch your house while you were gone?
Oh, geez. I would say... I'll probably go with none of the characters in Heart Eaters. I would say that. Especially Sal. Got to stay away from Sal is a bit of a head case. But I will probably say Lucas from Wasteland.
Awesome.
I think he'd be a great guard dog or a lion, if you want to say that.
I love that.
Yeah.
All right. Which comic villain do you kind of secretly agree with?
Oof, that's a tough one. Who do I agree with? Oh, man. Oh, you stumped me there. That is something I've never thought about. Who do I secretly agree with? Let's say, you know, no, because he's a bit of a dick. I was going to say Lex Luthor. But he's more of like a spoiled brat. And I can be a little spoiled at times, too.
Me too.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, I'll say Lex for now, but I don't know. That's a hard one. I never really thought about that.
Next time you're on, I'll update it. We'll see if you change your mind.
Yeah, I'll have a new one for that for sure.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, so before I asked you, like, if you could live in any comic book universe, where would you live? I can't remember your answer, but I should have wrote it down. But which one do you think would actually be the worst place to live?
Oh, Gotham City.
For sure, right?
Sure, Gotham City, yeah. No, I probably said Gotham in the last one, too, which is funny. Probably. I think this is a good time to put a snippet in from that.
Yeah, I went back and watched part of the episode to get the answer to the next question, but I forgot to get the answer to this question.
Yeah, so, I would say Gotham City is definitely the worst.
I'm going to go check and see what you said.
Yeah.
That'd be funny. If you said Gotham City, that would be great. I will snip that together. So last time you were on, I asked you if your life were a comic book, what would the title be? And you said To the Moon and Back, because it was something that you and your family, you know, you use. Would that change, or would you stick to that answer?
Never. That will always be it. Maybe until the end of the maybe the sequel will be To the End of the Universe, you know?
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah.
I like that. I was listening to a podcast today on the way home, and they were talking about, it was Rogan with Tommy Lee, you know, from Motley Crue. And Rogan asked him what year, like, Motley Crue, like, became known or famous, and it was like 1980. And he's like, Rogan's like, holy cow. He's like, that's like 46 years ago. He's like, do you know how far we've come? So then they went down this rabbit hole of how far has the Milky Way galaxy, the universe, the galaxy, how long or how far has it moved in like the universe in 46 years?
My God.
And it come out to be like 15 trillion miles or something. Holy like crap. That.
Yeah.
Is how much like the universe, because everybody, you know, like, because the sun, like, we're not in the same spot. Like,
yeah,
we revolve around the sun, but the sun's in the universe or the Milky Way galaxy, and the galaxy is just hurling through the universe, you know? And they say that's the hardest part of, you know, time travel, is because we're never in the same spot twice.
Yeah.
And but it was just crazy to me that they're like, yeah, it's like 15 trillion miles. Like, Jesus. So to the end of the universe is more than 15 trillion miles, folks.
Okay.
That's fantastic.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one to remember.
Well, give everybody the pitch for the book.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Heart Eaters is a story about a band that goes by the title Romero and the Heart Eaters. They're a punk rock band styled in like the horror punk scene. The story starts at a Halloween show where the band's just getting off of a set, where we meet up with Sal, the bass player, Billy, the drummer, and Joey, the lead singer and guitarist. It's clear to see that Joey is the main man because all the females are gravitating towards him, while Joey and while Billy and Sal are at the bar drinking a beer. And it's at that point that Joey actually makes eyes with a certain woman, and that woman ends up being the downfall of the band. So the story is based on Billy and Sal getting the band back together and trying to break up this relationship. Only there's a sinister plot that kind of is stricken inside of there.
That's great. The Kickstarter's live now. It's got, you know, at least 3 weeks or more to go. Go back to Kickstarter. All the links will be in the description and all that. And I really appreciate you being here again, Dominic. Do you have any final parting words?
Oh, man. I thank you, AJ, for having me. I really appreciate it, you know, and taking the time here. Please follow links back the project. I want to get this thing really finished and have like a hard graphic novel in my hand. So I think everyone else would love that too.
How many pages is it going to be?
We're looking at probably about like 110. Roughly 110. Might be closer to 100, you know. but it's going to be at least 4 issues. So 4 to 5.
Awesome. Well, dude, of course, when you get something else going or, you know, ready to launch or whatever, hit me up. We'll definitely have you back on. I love having people come back. That's, you know, a lot of fun to, you know, just continue and grow the podcast, grow the people, grow everything. And I appreciate you being here with me.
Yeah, brother, I appreciate you. Thank you again.
Thank you for listening to Talking Comics Podcast, powered by Aquadio Media, helping creators make waves.